T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Come on, son.
Raphael on the track.
Come on, son. Come on, son. Today's show is sponsored by PDM. Pod Digital Media, the number one multicultural podcast app, is here. PDM, Pod Digital Media, is the very first Black-owned podcast app. You can listen to shows from every single category, like sports, business, health, lifestyle, and culture, all from creators of color like me. Download it today in the Apple App Store and listen to new shows. Plus, if you want to release a podcast, record it and release it directly from the app. PDM, Pod Digital Media app. Download it right now. Tell them Ed Lover sent you.
Come on, son.
What up, y'all? This is Ed Lover. Welcome to Come On, Son, the podcast. Before I start this podcast, man, been a weird old day for me, man. And it all started last night. Last night, I was out getting ready to do some comedy, host a comedy show in a venue. So I had to go check the venue out and, you know, to see if it's actually conducive to comedy. And I think I can have enough of a captive audience to pull it off. It's a big space. And usually you don't want a space that big unless you're in a theater, especially when you're talking about doing something in a place that is not a regular comedy space. The reason why they do comedies in theaters or comedy clubs, because they're built for that. No matter how small they are, you want a captive audience. You don't want too much stuff going on around the comedy. You want people to pay attention to what's going on. And normally, by rule of thumb, most great comedy houses, and I've been doing stand-up comedy for a long time, and I'm quite sure a lot of y'all didn't know I do it, because I've always kept another job, because I can't live off of just stand-up comedy. And I applaud any comedian who just lives, makes his entire living off of doing stand-up comedy. God bless you all, because you're very, very special. And I mean the comedians that don't have, you know, the opportunity to be on television consistently or films consistently. You know, that's what every comedian wants to do. It's weird because for me, TV came first, then film, then radio, and then stand-up comedy. And I know usually it goes the other way, but every comedian wants to get to that point to where they're so involved in television and film that they can do stand-up when they want to and command big bucks for doing stand-up. Now, usually any comedy club that I've ever performed in, true comedy club, even in a ballroom or something, the bar is always outside of the room, because you don't want people at the bar trying to get drinks, having conversations, and not paying attention to the show. World-famous comedy club, Caroline's on Broadway. The bar is outside of the room. Once you go into that room, they shut the doors, and you have no choice but to pay attention to the stage and the comedian. Now, you can get a drink because the waitresses come through and take your order. So my thing is going to have to be, once we start the show in this spot, the bar has to close to waitress service only. I want the waitresses taking care of the drinks at the table. I don't want people getting up and go to the bar because it's a fucking distraction. It's too much noise. It's a lot of stuff, man. Rob Stapleton's a good friend of mine. Had it every Tuesday night. in the Bronx, New York, at this place called Salsa Con Fuego. And the bar is in the same room when the comedy show was going on. And they kept the TVs on for the games and stuff. So people are watching the games. People are at the bar congregating. You don't want that when you're doing a comedy show. TV's off. If there's like if you're in a sports bar or something, TV's off. Waitress service only. People sit at the tables, order your drinks from the waitresses. That's fine. But you don't want people milling about at a bar and paying attention to what's on the screens and all of that stuff. You want to have a captive audience. So, you know, that being said, I was out last night to look at the room, see what we can do with the room, how we can make it work so that people come knowing that they're coming for a comedy show. And it's a hookah spot, too, so it's fine. They have food. You can order food. You can order hookah. But I want it to be waitress service. So while I'm out, I'm next door. The people that own it, they have one of the great cigar establishments in the country, in my opinion. It's called Cigar City Club. And right next to it is the Paradise Hookah Lounge, where I'll be doing comedy on Wednesdays. So I'm in there, and my best friend Kurt calls me, and he tells me that one of our homegirls from this place in New York City in Queens called Manhattan Proper, it's like a local watering hole. A lot of comedians came through there because they used to do comedy there once a week on like, I think it was a Wednesday or Thursday night. I've actually performed there. Some of the greats from Def Comedy Jam, BET Comic View, Tracy Morgan, all of them at one point or another have come through Manhattan Proper. Well, she used to be a waitress at Manhattan Proper, and then she passed away. So I heard that. So today, I get up. I'm saddened by that. I'm talking to my best friend. I'm saddened by it. Today, I get up, and I go to the store where I like to buy blazers because they have a great selection of blazers, pants, shirts. And I needed just some plain shirts, nice shirts, but just solid color shirts is what I'm trying to say, because I've got these plaid pants. That's really cool for the summertime. And you don't want to wear like a shirt with a lot of things going on in it if you're wearing a dress shirt with these pants. So I go in there and I'm looking around for my man that has always helped me whenever I go into this men's haberdashery. I'm looking for my man, Easy Al. Now, Al and I have known each other for many years now. And Al knew my style so well that he knew what to show me when I walked in the store. And sometimes he would text me to come to the store. And new stuff came in. Ed, you might want to come down and check it out. Blah, 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 blah. Sold me a couple of nice tuxedos and blazers. And anytime I was going to some kind of award show, I would always check with Al to see what's going on. Well, his brother Dave is in there, who also works in the shop, and tells me that Al passed away in November. Man, of last year now, of 2020. Complications from diabetes. It was just, it broke my heart, man, because Al is a great guy. DC Don Curry, one of Al's clients. Al was fantastic, man. It broke my heart. Hurting. I'm like, middle of the day, y'all. I need a drink. I need a cigar. So I go to somewhere to eat and sit down because I had a cigar with me. I was hungry. I hadn't eaten all day. I go to the little pizza spot where I know I can sit outside and smoke and have me a drink. I get my drink, my Basil Hayden Dark Rye. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but try it. It's a great bourbon. And I light my cigar up, and I'm sitting there outside eating my pizza. And I'm going through my phone, and in my DMs and Instagram, somebody hits me and go, yo, Ed, Alvin Toney died last night. And I'm like, come on, are you kidding me? And he sends me a picture of Alvin Toney. I've known Alvin Toney for well over 30 years. Now, I want to post a picture of Alvin Toney on my Instagram and say rest in peace, but you know how those rumors go around. You don't want to post until you make absolutely sure that the person has passed. So I call Eric Sermon from EPMD. Eric Sermon confirmed it. I called T-Money. T-Money didn't know anything about it. I called Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre didn't know anything about it. We were talking about it. And then I called Eric Sermon. I didn't get him at first, but he called me back. Yeah, Ed, I'm on my way to get Parrish. We're going to Alvin Toney's brother's house. He passed away yesterday about 4 o'clock in the morning in his sleep. He goes on to tell me that Alvin had gotten very large, or like over 400 pounds. He goes to tell me that Alvin and Eric B., from Eric B. and Rakim, were working together. Al put together a documentary about the life of Craig Mack, because Alvin discovered and was managing Craig Mack and took Craig Mack to Bad Boy. Okay, this is an incredible connection. Alvin also worked with EPMD, DOSFX, Redman, K-Solo, everybody that was in that hit squad, Keith Murray, all of them. That was their guy. From the beginning of EPMD, Alvin Toney was their guy. And I couldn't believe that he had gotten that big, because I used to call him Tank every time I saw him, because he was about 5'6", 5'7", but he was solid muscle, man. Like, you know, you knew not to mess around with Alvin Toney. He was so strong. And it really broke my heart. Like, it really, really hurt me so bad that I lost these three people in 2 days. And Alvin Toney's contribution to hip-hop will not go unnoticed by me. And there's a lot of people that's behind the scenes that you may not have ever heard of, like Alvin Toney, because he wasn't in the forefront. He's not a Jermaine Dupri. He's not a Diddy. He's not a Swiss Beats. He's not Juan Dean from Rough Riders. You know what I mean? He was a guy that played his position just like Bernard Alexander did, just like so many other people. You know who was a real, real behind-the-scenes type of person, but kind of got propelled to the limelight even when they didn't want to, was Chris Lighty. And because Chris Lighty had Violator Records, that's why I kind of propelled Chris to the limelight, because you would always hear LL, Baby Chris, Rock On. That was Chris Lighty, my next-door neighbor when I lived in West Orange. But Alvin Toney was a behind-the-scenes guy who liked to stay behind the scenes no matter what kind of deal he made. There's a young man, he ain't a young man anymore. He's a grown-ass man like the rest of us, by the name of Kuda Love. Kuda Love was behind Mace and behind Nelly. But unless you really know who Kuda Love is, you don't know Kuda Love. And it's the same thing with Alvin Toney. And Alvin Toney was on his way. You know, fell on some hard times because the music business changed. And sometimes you find yourself blowing in the wind, trying to figure out where your next check is coming from. We've all been there. So Alvin had put together this incredible documentary along with Eric B., along with Mano, who they were working closely with. And they got a series of documentaries coming out about the life of Craig Mack and about the religious leader that Craig Mack was involved with before he passed away. All of this stuff that we probably did not know about Craig Mack. And that was the beauty of I Got a Story to Tell that was on Netflix about Biggie. It gave us stuff about Biggie we didn't know that the movie didn't touch. You know, Nelson George called me the other day, and I'm going to sit down with Nelson to talk about Tupac. There's a lot of stuff about Pac that movie didn't touch, that only people who were around him, who have stories about him, know about Tupac, know about Biggie, know about Craig Mack. And Alvin Toney was one of those people who's very instrumental in the development of Craig Mack. And if Craig Mack does not pop, Bad Boy doesn't pop. Because Craig Mack was the first artist released. That was the first single released on Bad Boy. I remember Puff had their cassette. They had Craig Mack's Flavor in Your Ear on one side, and I think it was Party and Bullshit on the other side. And he put it in McDonald's boxes, and it said Big Mac on it, like, you know, Biggie and Craig Mack. But that Flavor in Your Ear was what really popped it off for Bad Boy as a whole, as a label, albeit a boutique label, because it was through Arista. You know, it was like Arista's arm of black music at the time. You know, so that's how it was then. There was a lot of black boutique labels, Interscope being the parent company to Def Row. So if Interscope didn't really know what to do with hip-hop, because Pac was signed to Interscope first as an artist before he was ever on Def Row. And when he started getting in trouble, they just transferred his contract to Suge so Suge can handle him. So, you know, Flavor in Your Ear, Get Down, Flavor in Your Ear Remix, LL's on there, Busta's on there, Rampage is on there, Craig Mack is on there. You know what I'm saying? LL, like I said, Biggie is on that record. That's a dope-ass record. That's remixes, you know. helped propel Busta as much as the scenario did. You know, did a lot for LL. Blotitious. Skeevy, delicious. Give me couscous, love me good. Damn, Hollis to Hollywood, but is he good? Y'all remember that, man. You remember Biggie's line. Disappear like the Gooch, Vamoose, you're whack to me. Take those rhymes back to the factory, I see. Come on, man. Craig Mack, that was Craig Mack's record. That was a remix to Craig Mack's record. Yo, I don't understand how they don't understand you on that Mary joint. He was a record with Mary J. Blige. Ha! Just like Uniblab. That really kicked off Bad Boy. And Alvin Tony is the man behind getting Craig Mack signed to Bad Boy. That's a huge contribution. A lot of people get credit for a lot of stuff, but there's always some people that are right behind them that are able to steer them, guide them, and push them in the right direction. And Alvin Tony was that guy who worked with EPMD, who was mentioned in a lot of EPMD records. A lot of Def Squad, you know, all of that. Redman. Alvin Tony was there for all of that stuff. And it's a shame that he's no longer with us. And then you start thinking about, damn, when's the last time I seen homie or talked to homie? I talked to DJ Scratch, Scratch Vision. Shout out Scratch Vision, who said he had talked to Alvin a lot. He knew that Alvin had sleep apnea. Was on one of them, I think it's called the CPAC machines when he slept. So Alvin had really blown up, but he was really on the road to redemption, to controlling his weight. You know, the autopsy hasn't come out on Alvin yet, so I don't know what Alvin actually passed of. I hope it wasn't COVID related. You know, so what else can I say about him, man? But he's a great dude, man. Rest in peace, Alvin Tony. Rest in peace, my man, Easy Al. Rest in peace, everybody that I lost, man. And tonight is one of my friends, Anton's birthday. I'm supposed to go by his birthday party tonight. I don't even feel like going, man. And I don't want to disappoint him, but honestly, y'all, I don't even feel like going, man. This stuff just it takes a toll on you after a while. You start, like, I sit back, every time I lose somebody, I sit back and think about how many people that I've known in my 50 plus years who are not with us anymore. I mean, I thank God every day for my life. I thank God every day all my siblings are still here. You know, I lost my pops when I was 19. You know, all my friends from Heavy D to all the way back to MC Trouble, who was signed to Motown. All the way back there, man. It's just too many people. So many people that I've crossed paths with at one point or another. In some ways, man, I promise you, I remember they had this thing called 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, right? That everybody was 6 degrees away from Kevin Bacon one way or another. I sometimes think, man, that it's like, if you talk about a lot of people, it's been around a long time, Jay, Puff, Snoop, Dre, my partner Dre, for everybody, Eazy-E, God rest his soul, everybody that was out there, there's 2 degrees, or maybe 1 degree, of a person that you know that knows somebody, that probably knows me in this business. Not these new cats. And God bless them, get your money. A lot of them I don't know, I've never met. You know, some of them I've met and had the pleasure of meeting. Migos, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, Gucci Mane, Jeezy, Drake, sat on a plane with Drake going to Washington, D.C., sat next to each other on a plane going to D.C. early in his career. Kanye West, another guy I know. It's like so small that you probably know somebody that knows somebody that knows me, that knows this. It's like, it's almost like a frat. The music business, man, if you start from the early 80s or the late 70s, early 80s, we're almost like a fraternity, especially if you did some damage, if you made it in some sort of way, form, or fashion. If you made it, it's small. It's small. I sit back and think all the time. I personally know that I meet Hallie. I think I met Hallie once. Hallie's an Oscar winner. Know her through when she was married to David Justice. Actually know her from when she was doing Strictly Business. Okay? Jamie Foxx is an Oscar winner. I played the devil on the Jamie Foxx show. Been to Jamie House a million times. Jennifer Hudson's an Oscar winner. Right? Know Jennifer from music business, radio interviews. It ain't like I have to reintroduce myself to any of these three Oscar winners I'm talking about. Monique, homegirl. Homegirl. For the longest period of time. See, Monique in comedy clubs played Caroline's when I was hosting Caroline's. Denzel Washington, first name basis all the time. Every time he sees me, I'll tell y'all a quick story. Denzel had Fences out, and I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and they invite us to the screening of Fences. So I go to the screening, and I'm standing online on the press side, not on the celebrity side. I have a microphone. I'm there to do interviews, take the interviews back to the station from my radio station. I'm standing there, and I'm talking to all the people that came down to Atlanta for the premiere. Viola Davis was not there, but I met Viola Davis, and I'll tell you that story at another point. So, you know, Michael T. Williamson's is in the movie. It's all of these people coming down, and I'm asking them about the movie, their role. And a lot of these people have been on Broadway with Denzel Washington and Fences. Now, let me take you back to Mo' Better Blues days. I go to the premiere of Mo' Better Blues. I go to the after party of Mo' Better Blues. Now, remember, later on in life, I get to do a movie called Undisputed with Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes was in Mo' Better Blues. So was Denzel Washington. Okay? I'm a huge fan of Denzel Washington's from Carbon Copy when it was on TV. I know exactly who this man was. Wasn't as big as he is now, but I know who Denzel Washington is. So I'm at the after party, and I'm trying to find a way to go and say hello to Denzel Washington, but he has all of these people around him, and I don't want to, I think it's part of my manhood that I don't want to sweat another man, but I want to tell him how much I enjoy his work. So I caught him when he had a moment by himself, and I just wanted to say, hey, Mr. Washington, how are you? I'm a fan of your work. Continued success with you. Love the movie. That's all I'm saying to people. I catch him. His back is to me. I tap him on the shoulder. I say, hello, Mr. Washington. He turns around and goes, Ed Lover, man, you taller than you look on television. Mind blown. Fast forward to the Fences screening or premiere here in Atlanta. He's Michael T. Williamson, who played Bubba Gump. I'm standing there. I'm interviewing Michael T. Williamson. It starts getting louder because Denzel and his beautiful wife, Pauletta, walks in, who John David Washington is his son, hell of an actor in his own right now, right? Comes down and people are interviewing Denzel Washington, and I'm standing about 20 feet up in the line waiting for him to come down so I can have my turn with him. And for some reason, he happened to look up at who was on the line. While steady answering questions, he's looking at how many more interviews he got to go, and he's answering questions. And he sees me, and he goes, Ed Lover! Swear to God, you can ask. I actually have it on tape. Ed Lover! And he bypasses everybody. Chubb Rock is standing to my right waiting to interview him for a different station that was in our cluster. And he stands there, and he's talking to me, and he sees Chubb Rock. He goes, what up, Chubb? And he's talking to Chubb. No, he's talking to me, and Chubb is recording it also. But he bypassed everybody else to come and talk to me. Denzel Washington. I never got the opportunity to meet Chadwick Boseman, but Denzel is the one that sponsored Chadwick. It's small, man. It's a fraternity. Fraternity. I've never been in a Spike Lee movie ever. Always wanted to be in one of them. I don't care. I think if I could share screen time with Denzel Washington, Samuel L. Jackson, Viola Davis, I don't care if I'm wiping down a counter when they come in and ask me a question. These are some of the most prestigious actors ever, in my opinion. James Earl Jones, Eddie Murphy, some of my all-time favorites, right? A lot of my all-time favorites. I always wanted to meet Chadwick Boseman. Thought he was dope. I know Michael B. Jordan from when he played on The Wire is my little man then. Okay? Amazing, amazing. Look, Chiwetel Ejiofor played Denzel Washington's brother in the Frank Lucas Gangster, American Gangster. I did a movie with Chiwetel Ejiofor for Netflix when I played his brother. It's a fraternity. So when we lose a member of our fraternity, whether in front of the camera or behind the camera, it hurts. Giancarlo Esposito, another one of my favorites. He's in the fraternity, right? Giancarlo was in School Days with Lawrence Fishburne, who I've been watching since he did Cornbread Earl and Me, and Sam Jackson was in that movie. It's a fraternity, right? Jungle Fever, Wesley Snipes, Sam Jackson playing Gator, Halle Berry in that movie. All three of them. Spike Lee movie. Spike been my man, 50 grand from day one. I've never even auditioned for a Spike Lee movie, but I always wanted to be in one. Spike Lee is amazing. Amazing. Crazy, man. It's a fraternity. You ever seen Bamboozled? Did you know Savion Glover and Tommy Davidson both was in there? I know Tommy Davidson from being on the set of In Living Color. I know Savion Glover very well. Very well. When I had a pilot for my own talk show, Savion Glover was on there teaching me how to tap dance. It's a fraternity. It hurts to lose a member of the fraternity. It's that small. We don't have Greek lettering or any of that stuff. But being in this business is a fraternity. Tommy Davidson, right, did Booty Call. Am I right? Tommy Davidson and Jamie Foxx. Booty Call, Tamela Jones, my ex from way, way back. Now she has a new TV show called Rebel with Katie Sagal from Married with Children, and she called up, and I had an opportunity to interview Tam. I haven't talked to Tam for a long time. When me and Tam broke up, it wasn't pretty, and I needed closure, and I never, ever got the closure. But Tam is a good woman, man, and I'm very, very proud of her. She chugs right along as far as her career is concerned. You know, For Your Love. We were dating when she was doing For Your Love. For Your Love, Castle, multiple movies, ER for a while, and now she's on Rebel, brand new on ABC.
Come on, son.
Let's keep it real for a moment. Quite a few people suffered financially during this pandemic, and now is the best time ever to make sure your bank account works with you and not against you. So listen. Chime is an award-winning app and debit card with no hidden fees nor monthly minimums. Listen, we all make mistakes, yours truly included. And those packed on overdraft fees are the worst. But with Chime, you get fee-free overdraft on up to $100 in debit purchases with SpotMe. It's like overdraft protection, but better. Get your paycheck, benefits, and tax return up to 2 days earlier with Chime's direct deposit. And again, No hidden fees or monthly minimums. My friends, join the millions on Chime. Sign up. Takes 2 minutes and does not impact your credit score at all. You earned your money and you deserve to keep every cent of it. So start saving and apply now at Chime.com/EdLover. That's Chime.com/EdLover. Chime is a financial technology company. Banking services provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Overdraft only applies to debit card purchases. Limits start at $20 and may be increased up to $100 by Chime. Early direct deposit depends on the payer. Out-of-network cash withdrawal fees apply. Third-party and cash deposit fees may apply. Go to Chime.com/EdLover for details.
Come on, son.
Good morning and welcome to the show, Ms. Jones. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mr. Ed Lover?
I'm doing quite well, Ms. Tamala Jones. Thank you very much for asking. Are you in Los Angeles?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so it's very early. So first of all, thank you for getting up this early to join us. We really appreciate it. You have a brand new show on ABC, and it's called Rebel. So tell us about your new TV show, Rebel, and what part you play.
Okay, so my new show, Rebel, is loosely based off the life of Erin Brockovich, and she's being played by Miss Katie Segal, who I've been a fan of forever. And I play Lana. I am a private investigator. I used to be a cop. I'm also Rebel's ex-sister-in-law, so there's some juicy detail with the family in that. And I'm also her muscle, so I investigate and I kick butt.
Oh, okay, so you're doing some stunts here, huh?
Yep, a little bit.
Pulling guns on people, that's what you're doing now?
I'm pulling guns, I'm body slamming people. I mean, I'm trying to get into the action field, so.
I feel you on that. I feel you. And how would you, if you had to describe it, how would you describe your career to this point? Because your career has been extremely lucrative. How would you describe it to this point?
It's been a learning experience because I've been doing this since I was 14. Mm-hmm. And I'm 100 years old now. So every time I get a job or a project, I have learned so much from my cast members, my crew members, or just the experience alone, you know. So it's all been learning, and it's been great.
So what attracted you to Rebel? What made you decide, like, this is something that I wanted to do?
Katie Segal.
Okay.
I used to do a little impressions of her around the house growing up on Married with Children. I'm like, oh, Al, you know, her, a Futurama. I've always been a big fan of her, Sons of Anarchy, and when I heard she was doing something with Krista Vernoff, I said, I got to audition for this. I got to get in some kind of way. I got to be a part of this. And then Andy Garcia definitely needed to get on board when I heard he was on. So it's just I wanted to learn from them and also work with them as well. And I got blessed, so I'm very humble and grateful that I was able to book this job.
Yeah, and especially during the time of the pandemic. How has the pandemic affected the way you guys work in Hollywood?
It's made it a little challenging because, for one, our entire crew, they have to wear masks and shields all day long. They're not allowed to take it off. And we're only allowed to take our, you know, mask and shield off when we're shooting. As soon as we're done and they say cut, we got to put it right back on. And they have, we call them the COVID-50. They have people there on set that make sure that everyone's standing 6 feet apart, that you're constantly washing your hands or sanitizing. That's the only part, but, you know, we're in it now, so I guess we're used to it. It's a little challenging, though.
Okay. But before that, it was a lot. Is it a lot less socializing on set? Is it more like, okay, I'm doing my part, then it's back to my trailer?
Oh, I wish it was back to our trailer. They don't even let us go back to the trailer sometimes. They just spread us out. As long as we're, the seats are like 12 feet apart, so we could be in the same room, and it can only be four of us if the room is like a medium size, and then they have air purifiers in there.
Wow,
so
that's a lot.
Really sanitary.
and a lot different than the way it used to be. In these days and times of racial unrest, do you think Hollywood is finally getting a message about racial equality?
I think so. Well, I believe so because there's new sectors in, you know, we have Screen Actors Guild, and we have, guys, people, I call them the police, too, that they will come on set, and they will make sure that everything is running smoothly. Well, now we have someone that introduced themselves right before production, and if there's anything, and then the human resources, if it's anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, gender, colorism, anything, call us, and we'll come down and handle it. And
oh, wow, that's good.
Conversation with pretty much everyone. So it's serious now. Like, I think that they really have taken the initiative to make everyone feel comfortable and at ease.
That's great. And that leads me to my next question. As a beautiful woman that you are, working for many years in TV and film, did the Me Too movement strike a nerve with you?
You knew that things like that were going on in Hollywood, but mm-hmm. it never happened to me. I've never had that, and I don't know if it's because I came in so young, but that was something I never had to deal with. But for the women that had to, that was very upsetting to hear. And I'm happy that it's out now so that everyone is aware, so that everyone behaves themselves. So as long as people keep talking about issues beyond the Me Too movement, anything else that goes on, and you let it be known and we do something about it, I think that's the most important thing for anything upsetting.
From a woman's perspective, what can us men do to treat women better in the workplace? What should we be doing differently as men?
I don't want to say all men are bad because I think you guys are great. Men are amazing, just like you guys think women are amazing. I think men are so amazing. You guys, one thing as women that we have to understand about you guys is you're sensitive, too. It took me a while to learn that, but I understand it now. So I think instead of men having to treat women better, I think that we need to treat each other better. And once you do that, then we can go from there on issues that are bothering. But if it's one-sided, it's never going to get handled. So everyone needs to respect everyone's feelings and treat each other in a good way, the way you would want to be treated. And then if someone acts up, then that's when they need to be put in their place.
Okay. Well, you got Rebel on ABC, and that premieres tonight at 10, 9 Central Time. I wanted to reiterate that. On a personal note, what do you like to do when you're not working? Because it seems you've been working since you was 14 years old. What does Tamala Jones like to do when she's not working?
I like to travel. Well, you know, before the pandemic, I love to go to different countries, learn the culture, not go as a celebrity, go as a visitor. I don't even like doing touristy stuff. I like going where the natives are, learning their culture, their music, their food. I'll even do your laundry. That's what you're doing. But I used to love to do that. Now I love going hiking, and I love karaokeing. That's been my hobby since I've been in the house.
So what's your go-to karaoke song?
I don't think you're going to believe this one, but I love Come As You Are by Nirvana.
Really?
And you can't be that silent.
That is funny. Career-wise, what's your ultimate goal?
My ultimate goal career-wise is to work in really great projects until my heart stops ticking. I just love acting so much. I just hope that I'm able to work and continue to work on really good projects until my body says, she's done.
And then that's it, huh? You got Rebel on ABC, which premieres tonight once again at 10 o'clock, 9 Central. Are there any other new films or projects that's on the horizon that we should be looking out for that Tamala Jones will be either producing, directing, or anything like that? Writing?
Not yet. Everything's getting back on track now that we're up and running again. So you'll be hearing from me soon, but nothing signed yet.
Okay. Well, we know you're on the press junket, so you got minimal time with us this morning. We really do appreciate you taking the time out of your early L.A. morning, because God is early. And we thank you so much. Rebel is on ABC, premieres tonight at 10, 9 central. Thank you, Ms. Tamala Jones, and stay safe and stay blessed.
You too. Thank you so much, Ed Lover.
Take care. Nice talking to you.
And nice talking to you too. You take care too.
I am. I'm staying safe. Thanks.
Come on, son.
Brand new. I'm very happy for her, but she's part of the fraternity. Her and Vivica Fox, very, very tight. I know Viv for a long time. I've known Will from when he was rapping. Viv and Will did Independence Day together. Bernie was my dude. Bernie was in Who's the Man, right? Bernie did the one when Lisa Rae McCoy played the stripper. Ice Cube was in it, and Bernie played the "You Don't Do Nothing But Spin Records." Me and Bernie had did Who's the Man together, man. This is a fraternity. Losing a Mac man hurt. I'm telling you, this whole thing is a fraternity. I got Tommy Miles, better known as Nephew Tommy, coming up. Sitting down doing a Zoom interview with him for my podcast. Now, I don't know if dude is related to me, but I will find out, because my mother's maiden name is Miles. My grandfather was Rufus Miles. And my brother is Thomas. My brother's name is Thomas Miles. Tommy, Thomas, yeah. I had another cousin named Tommy Miles. So we'll find out, man. But as far as this business is concerned, I tell y'all, when we lose a member of the fraternity, it hurts. It really, really, really stings. And I'm still not over losing my little brother, Todd One. I'm still not past losing Stretch. I'm still not past losing Biggie Pac, Ted Demme, all of the people, Left Eye, Aaliyah, people that you just stands out to you about where you were when you heard that they passed. I'm praying and hoping that the dog don't die, man. I'm praying for DMX so hard, y'all. So hard, man. DMX is dark and hell is hot. X is definitely a member of the fraternity. We can't lose X right now. I just saw X perform, not last summer, summer before last, at One Music Fest, and he saw me. This is how I know I'm a member in good standing of the fraternity. The One Music Fest stage. It's X, Busta had performed already. Wu-Tang, I believe, had performed already. One of them was in front of the other one, and somebody was closing that particular stage. And I think X was closing. I think Wu-Tang had performed already. Wu-Tang is one of my favorite groups of all time. I'm going to do a whole podcast on why Wu-Tang is incredible, okay? And I hope y'all caught the Ghostface and Raekwon versus. It was incredible. But the DMX is there. And I'm going to tell you, this is how I know that not only am I a member, and I'm not saying this to down nobody, okay, but I'm telling you how it happened. This is how I know I'm a high-ranking member of this fraternity. If this was school days, I'm Big Brother Almighty or Brother X-Ray or one of them in this fraternity. I'm loved and I'm respected by everybody in the fraternity. Okay? I'm there. Tigger is hosting. Okay? Now, love Tigger. I love Tigger. I've worked with Tigger. We've been on the same radio station. I did something with the Lexus campaign with Tigger. No shade at all. You guys do know that Rap City came after your MTV Raps, right? Cool. So Tigger's on stage, and he's yelling out, "How many people want BET to bring back Rap City?" say bring back Rap City. Of course some people are going to yell out, bring back Rap City. I'm standing on the side of the stage. And I got people pointing at me and waving and yelling, what's up, Ed? And it's still good. Still good. Show ended in 1996. People still love me. That's a beautiful thing. But Tigger is hosting. And he introduces DMX. DMX comes out on the stage, where's my dogs at? Launches into his stuff. Did not acknowledge Tigger at all. DMX has been on Rap City, the Basement. DMX was never on Your Own TV Raps. Never. It had ended by the time DMX came out, but he has been on the radio with me several times, and we have interacted outside of radio several times. I know him. I know his first wife, Tashira. I know his son. I know his people. X is about to launch it to another song, looks to the right and sees me standing there off to the right-hand side of the stage and goes, my nigga Ed Lover is in now. Give it up for Ed Lover. And comes and gives me a big-ass hug. Huge hug. This is true. I'm not saying that he didn't acknowledge Tigger. I'm a member in good standing of the fraternity. It's a little bit different. A little bit different. My pedigree, and I'm not saying that Tigger don't have pedigree, but his pedigree is not on the level of my pedigree with these people in this fraternity. Yo, I used to watch you every day, dog. You know? Nigga would come home, and in the group home, the niggas got you on. I know how to do the fucking dance. Nigga did that lover dance. That's beautiful, man. So I'm praying for this brother to come out with all his functions. Fully functional. Brain function, everything. He's working. I don't know if he finished his new album, but it's supposed to be another album coming out. Some dope shit on it. I know. Because it's X, and I fucking love X, and Dark and Hell is Hot is one of my favorite albums ever. Crime Story is ill. A lot of people love Get At Me, Dog. I hated the record the first time I heard it. I'm not even going to lie about it. I would have slept on DMX if I was an A&R person. Hated that record. Couldn't stand it. Did not get it at all. And told the rep that I didn't like the record. Rough Riders Anthem. Amazing. But my personal favorite from Dark and Hell is Hot is a song called Fucking with D. That's my favorite record. You know the chorus if you know this song. I don't give a fuck about y'all niggas because y'all ain't killing nothing. That's the one I'm talking about. When niggas hear that dog bark, they better run. Police hear that dog bark, they better come. That's the one out. That's my shit. Fuck is on your mind. Fucking with D. Fuck is on your mind. Fucking with me. I bet you nobody never told you about fucking with D. Stuck in the tree is where you will be. Like a cat. And I'm the dog at the bottom looking up. Now it's that. Your worst nightmare is that I take it right there. You got some niggas coming? Where they at? Right where? I make them like air. Blowing away. Oh, my God. I don't give a fuck about y'all niggas. Y'all ain't killing nothing. Oh. Right before their eyes was a disguise. That one of their mans was a bitch in front of their eyes with a surprise. That one of their mans was a bitch in disguise. Oh. Shit. Know what I mean? It's robbing to eat. And there's another million just like me roaming the streets. Starving, we eat whatever's there. Come on, you know the code of the street, whatever's fair. That's my nigga. And I tell you, fucking with D is my shit off that album, man. I pray for the dog. Pray for him. Another joint. How's it going down? Types of game is being played. How's it going down? So until it's gone and I got to know now. Is you with me or what? Think I'm trying to get me a nud just because honeys want to give me the bud. What? Politicking with the chicken, wondering if I'm a creeper. A little hood rat bitch coming through, named Tamika coming through. like I do, you know, get in my bark on. Knew she was, when I met her, she had a scarf on. 5411 size 7. The girls, that's another shit I love about DMX. He said 5411s, and I know if you ain't from New York, you would like, what the fuck is 5411s? Those Reebok aerobic sneakers the girls used to wear cost $54.11 in the store. That's why we called them 5411s. So when he said 5411 size 7, the girl's baby face looked like she was 11 with curls. Girlfriend, what? You can't fuck with DMX because DMX goes with anything. You heard him do Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. DMX music goes with everything. It doesn't matter what. It could be fucking Whitney Houston. And I will always love you. What? Yo, you love me, and I always love you too. When the dog is roaming, what's the dog to do? Because I got other bitches, they sniffing on my trail. And I got the police, they right here on my tail. What? That shit goes right on there. I'm telling you, you can put DMX on any fucking record. So that's why him and Aaliyah went so good when he did the joint with Aaliyah. That's why the shit that he did with fucking Jay-Z was so dope. Because the X go with everything, my nigga. It don't matter. Working 9 to 5. What? What a made to make a living. Barely getting by. Come on! You feel me? Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. What, what? See? DMX right in there, son. Right in there. Any record. I'd have loved to hear DMX and Biggie together. Oh. I remember DMX. Y'all remember with DMX and Jay-Z and Ja Rule was supposed to be Murder, Inc.? Could you imagine DMX and Tupac and Snoop? Can you imagine DMX, Jay-Z, and Biggie as a group? What? X gonna give it to you. I fucking, yo, I'm praying so hard for DMX, man. And of course, there was Rhonda, Shonda, Aisha. About three Kims, Rhonda, Alicia. All treated fairly, but yet and still. Bitches on some other shit, now that I'm down with Drew. Hell, but what these bitches want from a nigga? What? I blaze you, you blaze me. I gave you, you gave me. And that's how he talks. If you ever talk to DMX, he talks like he rhymes. Hey, yo, Ed. This one was Tashera, his first wife. In the studio, I'm interviewing him. Songs are playing, and he looks at me and he goes, first time I met my wife, the first night I met her, I told her I loved her. Right, baby? She's like, yeah, you did tell me you loved me the first night you met me. I said that to get the pussy, and then I really realized that I love her. And I still got the pussy. I was like, yo, this nigga's crazy, yo. License suspended. How'd you get here today, D? I drove. Nigga, I called, fuck that. He's saying this on the radio, that he drove, knowing he wasn't supposed to drive. This is, like I said before, a fraternity. And there's a lot of people out there, sports, music, television, film. It's hard as fuck for black people to become successful in one of those arenas. So when we do, we all become a part of this fraternity and sorority. For my sisters and my brothers. Pray for the people that we lost and pray for DMX, man. Can't lose the dog. Too important. Can't lose the dog. Fuck you, the New York Post, for posting about, well, I'll get to that later because I got a good one, son, coming up. And like I said, here's a member of our fraternity on the female side, a friend of mine that I've known for very long time that I used to be in love with. But you know, God puts you in a position for certain reasons, you know, because if we'd have stayed together, then I wouldn't be with my wife right now. And my wife is probably one of the best things that ever happened to me. So check out my interview with the one and only fantastic actor, Miss Tamela Jones. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Tamela Jones. So come on, son, the podcast. Y'all, I hope you enjoyed my little brief chat with Tamela. We have each other's numbers, so I'm going to be setting up a Zoom interview so we can get deep into her career and all the stuff. She's been doing this since she was 14, man, and she's 40-something years old right now, so it's a beautiful thing, and congratulations, Tam, on your brand-new show. Y'all make sure you check out Rebel on ABC, and may you have a long 10-year, 15-year run on this show, my sister. I'm wishing you nothing but the best.
Come on, son.
It's time for Come On, Son. Where do I start? Let's start with the fucking New York Post newspaper. If you don't live in New York, you don't know. The main newspapers in New York are the Daily News, the Post, and the New York Times. Well, the Post has always been a rag piece of shit newspaper. The only good thing about the Post is their sports section. That's it. The rest of it is rag. The shit might as well be Star Magazine or one of them fuck-ass shits. Come on, son. To the bitch who wrote the article on DMX while he's fighting for his life, a whole-ass article about foreclosures and houses that he's lost during his career. Instead of wishing this man well, you're shitting on him while he's laying up in a coma. Come on, son, New York Post. Fuck you for writing it, and fuck y'all for printing it and putting it out there. We're hurting right now. We don't need this shit from you. That just goes to prove what kind of piece of shit, racist-ass scribe that you are, New York Post. Because I remember when I got in trouble a long time ago, and I got into an altercation, and I got arrested. The Daily News didn't even run it. Y'all motherfuckers put a half a page on me in there. Fuck-ass motherfuckers. Come on, son. Fuck out of here with that bullshit. Speaking of bullshit, Tiger Woods, man. You get over so much, man. You get over so much, bro. How are you doing 40 miles an hour over the limit? Legal speed limit and hit a tree and ran into a ditch at 75 fucking miles an hour in LA. That's the official Los Angeles report that you were doing 75. No toxicology report, and they say they don't suspect that he had. You got money. You paid somebody, bro. Because I think you was high, bro. Come on, son. I'm pretty sure you was high, bro. You were probably high as Paul Pierce, man. And come on, son, Paul Pierce. You had a $1.5 million contract. I know you're a Hall of Famer. If you ain't in there now, you're a first ballot Hall of Famer with Boston Celtics for all those years. I know how people in Boston are, bro. I know how they get down, bro. You are NBA analysts. I really enjoy listening to y'all talk about the game, especially players only. It's a certain rapport and respect that you guys have as, again, that word, fraternity, of being an NBA player. That y'all can relate to each other. You have a different outtake on the game than some of these reporters or analysts that never played. I enjoy when it's just you NBA players laughing and joking with each other. But you went on Instagram Live smoking weed with strippers behind you. And the thing went viral, but initially it only had 315 people watching it. So you blew $1.5 million a year for 315 views? Come on, son. I think you wanted to get fired because you got something better lined up and you wanted to get out of your contract. I heard Barstool is hollering at you. And from what I understand, Pornhub wants you to do something where you talk sports with strippers behind you. Paul Pierce. Come on, son. Fuck out of here. And who is the girl Monique you kept telling to come make some money? I think everybody wants to know the answer to that because I saw it. I saw it. Come on, son, the Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy, we understand that you took your first record and you learned how to manipulate YouTube and made yourself a YouTube sensation and a force in the music business to be reckoned with. We know you started all of this shit. You started that all the social media shit when it comes to music. I'm giving you those props, bro. But stop cussing everybody out for following suit. Why are you mad, Soulja Boy? You still getting your bread? We still remember when you jumped up in the interview with the Breakfast Club and was like, Drake! Drake, that's still one of my favorite shits of all time. And you got another song out that's killing on TikTok right now. Bro, why you mad? Why you always going on these rants? What is wrong with you? We also remember when you tried to claim blood and Duke was going to knock your ass out. We always remember, we remember all of that. Soulja Boy, nobody ever thought that damn near 20 years later we'd be talking about you. So come on, son. Stop ranting and raving all the time, Soulja Boy. You're in the fraternity. Chill. You are OG now. You really are. So come on, son. Fuck out of here. Come on, son, goes to fucking Cisco. DJ Cassidy just did the latest pass the mic at the BET after party. Everybody was on there singing. They even found Gina Thompson and Missy jumped on. They had two members of 112 because all four members of 112 don't fuck with each other no more. So they had Slim and Mike and Mace jumped on. Why, when it came time to do Drew Hill, instead of you standing in front of the camera, like Nokia, who was barely recognizable, and the other two members, new members of Drew Hill, why you got to be flipping, bro? It's not a performance, bro. Sit your ass down in one spot and sing In My Bed the remix. And they brought out JD and the Brat. And I thought that was dope. And they was in two different places. And they both did their parts. I thought the Cassidy passed the mic shit was dope. But come on, son, Cisco. Stand fucking still, man. You look stupid, bro. Speaking of looking stupid, Steve Harvey on the verses with the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind & Fire. Why do you have to talk so fucking much, bro? And then, Uncle Steve, I love you, man. I'm not jealous of you in any way, shape, or form, bro. I think you got something, and you're extremely talented at it. But we didn't need to hear you so much on the verses. We wanted to hear Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Isley Brothers. Because the good thing about verses is listening to the interaction between the artists and them talking about how records were made, them talking to each other, giving each other compliments, and you fucked it up. And come on, son, how you don't know who D-Nice is? That showed you out of touch, bro. You kept calling him DJ Nice. Were you drunk? Because his name is D-Nice. He's the NAACP award winner for Entertainer of the Year. He has a National Ford commercial. He produced Self-Destruction. You really don't pay attention to hip-hop at all if you fucked up D-Nice's name on more than one occasion. Steve Harvey, come on, son. Take that shit and all that talking back to your talk show and back to Family Feud or Kids Say the Darndest Things or your radio show. God bless you on all of them, man, but you fucked that verses up, bro. It's like the time you said the wrong name on it. Was it Miss America or Miss Universe pageant? You called the wrong one out. You remember that, son? We do. Sometimes you talk too much, bro. Come on, son. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. I'm Ed Lover. This is Come On, Son. And I approve this message. Y'all keep God first. Everything else will fall into place. Rest in peace to my people that I just lost, man. I'm going to miss y'all, man. Miss you, Easy Al. Alvin Tony, I miss you, man. Love y'all. Stay true. Talk at you, with you, to you, and about you on the next Come On, Son. Now, come on, son. Fuck out of here with that bullshit. Shout out super producer Krista. What's up, baby? That's my girl who produced this show. We doing it. I'm out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.